Brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. So, why are you here? Why are you here? I guess you could answer that several ways. You could answer by saying that it's Sunday, and you are here because this is what you and your family do on Sundays. You could say that you are here because your dad's the pastor. You could answer that you are here because your parents or your spouse made you get up and come. You could answer that you wanted to come so that you could receive the sacrament, to hear the hymns or songs you enjoy. You could actually not answer the question and just consider it a philosophical exercise. Why am I here? Why are you here? Why is anyone here? And we could contemplate the various attributes of Camus and Kierkegaard and Nietzsche. Yet I suppose there is a different way to answer this question, an answer embodied within our gospel lesson for today. You see, this week we again meet with our friend John the Baptist, as the account from the Gospel of John tells us about Jesus' baptism. Yet unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus' baptism is not recorded as an actual act, but as a first-person pronouncement by the Baptist. John tells us who Jesus is, what happens at his baptism, and why it is significant. This is different than the other accounts of Jesus being baptized by John and the dove and the Holy Spirit coming upon him. Still, make no mistake, this account from John offers a powerful witness, one that will guide our learning today. You see, John sees Jesus, we are told. And when he does, he points to Jesus and calls him the Lamb of God. Ultimately, John will fade from view, and his disciples will follow Jesus alone. Now think about this. This portrayal of John is actually one of the most complete images of evangelism that we have in Scripture. You see, John is recognized as playing a vital role in our Christian history. Yet I believe nothing that John does in Scripture is more important than what he does in our lesson today. John recognizes Jesus. He recognizes him, but not only recognizes what Jesus is doing and who he is, but he was willing to share that, and then he steps away and lets Jesus take it from there. This is actually portrayed quite vividly in a 15th century painting by an artist named Matthias Grunewald. Don't worry, you don't have to remember that name. But he painted a graphic depiction of the crucifixion of Jesus. And in this classic painting, we see Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the disciple John. We see them on the left side of the painting, grieving greatly at the crucifixion. But on the right side of the painting, it is dominated by a somber, though not grieving, John the Baptist. And in it, in his left hand, John is holding the Jewish scriptures. And the dominant feature, however, is think Pinocchio, but as a finger, a elongated finger of John pointing to the crucified Jesus, making it very clear that this painting is a passionate and effective capture of our Christian witness. Dare I say, our unique Lutheran witness, which is determined by St. Paul, who said, "I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified." And so in this painting, we are being shown John pointing to the crucified Christ. As Lutheran Christians, our lives, our words, our actions all point to Jesus. Yet, notice that we do not point to the miracle worker Jesus or the glorified, transfigured Jesus. No, we point to the sacrificial Lamb of God. And we do so for a reason. One of my professors in seminary, or in non-seminary in college, Dr. McDaniel, he put it this way. He said that the truest way to see God's power, to see the transforming power of God, is in the powerlessness of the humble Jesus on the cross. Now think about that. Power, the truest power of God is seen in God's seeming powerlessness. It is in the cross, Dr. McDaniel said, that we most clearly see, and it is in the cross that most clearly defines an alternative, dare I say, subversive narrative of Jesus' kingdom. A kingdom that is at continuous odds with our world, which is so consumed by the acquisition of and continued hold on power. You see, it is in the kingdom of Jesus where sacrificial love, as evidenced by the cross and not dominance, expresses true greatness. It is in the kingdom of Jesus where humility and generosity, not status or accumulation of power or things, that models the virtue of the godly life. In the kingdom of Jesus, it is the love of neighbor and of enemy, and the seeking of peace, not demonizing the stranger nor succumbing to division, that propels God's desired world and preferred future. You see, it is an alternative and indeed subversive vision of our Lord, the Lamb. In light of this, it is probably appropriate, indeed appropriate, that we celebrate a day dedicated tomorrow to Martin Luther King Jr. Now, in one of his sermons, in his book, Strength to Love, Dr. King writes these words: "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Hate multiplies hate. Violence multiplies violence in a descending spiral of destruction." Dr. King's nonviolent message of hope amidst the dark days of oppression helped to usher our nation into a new dawn, and we can see in it a message born from Jesus' Christian witness, from the Lamb of God, of the real and the inherent power of sacrificial love. If the church can actually live our sacrificial love vision from our Lord, the Lamb of God, it will change the world. It's instructive, I think, that John did not point to Jesus and say, "Here is the Lion of God coming to crush and destroy." Instead, it is the Lamb of God, recalling most certainly the Passover Lamb. And like the blood of the Passover Lamb, which saved the Hebrew people, the blood of the Lamb saves us. For people are transformed by sacrificial love, by the kind of hope that is promised in a vision of the Lamb of God. A Lamb of God who saves, who loves, who makes all things new, who teaches love instead of hate, who offers light amidst our darkness, who offers promise, who offers us new eyes to see the world and all of us in it, who offers indeed himself for us. You know, it was a relief that Jesus does not say in Scripture, I don't know about you, but I'm glad he didn't say, come and see all my other followers and how perfect and beautiful and brilliant and engaging they are. He just said, come and see. The invitation is to come and see what God the Lamb is up to. It is about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who transforms and changes people's lives. The Lamb of God who transformed a desert preacher named John into a forerunner of the Messiah. The one who transformed some fishermen into disciples who founded a religion. The one who transformed and renamed a Christian persecutor named Saul and turned him into the greatest evangelist of the faith named Paul. It is the one who transformed a little-known Southern African-American Baptist preacher into a leader who changed our nation's attitudes toward race. And it is the one, the Lamb, who transforms you. You and countless others year by year, week by week, day by day, moment by moment, into becoming the ones who indeed, through sacrificial love and in following this Lamb, who will, my friends, change the world. So why are you here? You are here because someone in your life invited you to come and see. And you have come and you have seen. And now, in the spirit of the living Lamb of God, it is your turn. It is your turn to not only change the world, but to invite others to come and see the Lamb of God. In Jesus' name, amen.